With its antennae quivering in battle frenzy, the Sec Hunter droid paused in the middle of the littered street, battered and damaged, but nowhere near chilled.
Head to the left!
Ryan waved to the right with his hand cannon. Trying to be as quiet as possible, the companions obeyed, and the machine started going in the other direction, then stopped and spun fast. But by then, the companions had gained valuable yards of safety. Moving carefully over the corpses on the sidewalk, Ryan noted the actions of the droid in grim satisfaction. Blind, but not deaf, eh? The man thought as much. Okay, he could use that. Using hand signals, Ryan had Jack throw a knife and smash the windshield of a distant car. As the machine rushed over to the noise, the companions crept through the windowless front of a large liquor store. Ryan would have preferred a paint store or gas station, but this was the only useful place in sight. Soon discovering the trick, the Sec Hunter returned to exactly the same spot it had been standing with machine precision, then started doing a circular wreck pattern through the vehicles. As the droid swung past the store, Ryan fired once, hitting it from behind. Immediately, the machine rushed inside the store, with its remaining buzzsaw slashing the air. Firing again, Ryan busted a magnum of champagne on the counter, the popping cork and gush of bubbling wine masking their movements in the store. Then Ryan and JB both threw a case of whiskey at the droid, but it heard the clinking bottles coming its way and slashed the box open in midair, shattering the contents and drenching itself completely. Now the rest started bombarding the machine with bottle after bottle of pungent alcohol. Going behind the counter, Mildred and Dean toppled over a tall display rack. Deafened by the noise, the machine attacked wildly, only managing to shatter more bottles and increase the volume of booze on the floor. As the machine went berserk trying to find its prey, the companions used the shattering glass to cover their retreat to the rear door. While JB oiled the bolt and hinges, the companions kept cover with their blasters as Ryan took a mop from an empty bucket and dabbed it into the liquor covering the floor, then used his butane lighter to set the stringy head of the mop on fire. The droid paused at the sound of the crackling flames, and Ryan threw the burning mop like a spear across the store. It landed near the front door with a clatter, and the droid attacked as blue flames rose from the igniting alcohol and began to quickly spread, soon covering the droid in flames. As it spun about mindlessly, more bottles began to explode as the fire spread. Easing out the back door, the companions raced away for several blocks before climbing the ladder of a fire escape to reach the top of a motel. Then they hurried across the salty roof to jump to the next structure, and then did it again. Several blocks away, the friends finally paused to catch their breath and frantically reload weapons.
Mother always did say that alcohol was bad for your health.
Doc started the laborious reloading process of the Lama. It took about 5 minutes for the man to properly purge all chambers in the cylinder, then compress black powder, ball, and wad using the attached hand press.
No sign of the machine.
JB lowered the Navy long eyes and compacted the tube. He tucked it into his munitions bag and began reloading a clip for the Uzi from a box of spare rounds.
Thank Gaia that worked.
Christy sighed, then suddenly realized she was still carrying the Holland and Holland. With virtually no chance of ever finding more ammo for the elephant rifle, she placed it gently on the roof and checked the load in her .38 S&W revolver.
It's just bought us some time, nothing more.
Ryan thumbed fresh single rounds into a spent clip. Tucking the clip away, he started on the next.
You know these machines are triple tough to chill and never stop hunting their prey. If the machine comes after us again, aim for the other blade. Once that's busted, we'll have a better chance to escape.
Escape? Not chill?
We're gonna need something other than blasters to stop this droid.
I can make us some Molotovs, but those only confuse and don't do any real damage.
How about pipe bombs?
The armorer looked at the boy and nodded.
Unless we find a National Guard armory, I'd say that was our best bet.
A Sec Hunter in a civilian city. There must be something here of military value.
Means mil blasters.
Unless it was for a missile silo outside the city, or an escort for some big gov type riding through.
True enough, dear lady.
Somewhere distant, there came the sound of cannons, or maybe only a series of fast explosions.
Like I said, trapped in a burning city with no way out, and a Sec Hunter on our ass, plus the Corps in Gaza waiting above.
Maybe not waiting.
Ryan studied the edge of the cliff rising above the city.
We're gonna do this by the numbers. First we get more ammo, then we try for the big stuff.
Moving with a purpose, the companions hit the streets. Finding a bank with unbreakable plexiglass windows, they located a phone book not eaten by the salt and got the address for a sports store. Since there didn't seem to be a military base or National Guard armory in town, a police station was useless, as cops never kept their extra ammo sealed to make it easier to use in case of trouble, which meant the dead air would have corroded every round. But sports stores usually kept their stock of ammo sealed in plastic-wrapped boxes to prevent pilferage. Moving fast and silently, they reached the store without incident and found a wealth of ammo under the counter, securely behind a steel lattice. JB easily unlocked that, and everybody filled their pockets, taking a few spare boxes of a size used by some mill blasters, just to be sure. In the camping department, they found some MRE packs in acceptable condition, a lot of dehydrated food completely inedible, plus some underwater flares and other items that JB happily tucked away into his munitions bag.
Plumbing store is next. Then we need someplace secure to hide for the night. I need time to make the explos.
Mildred patted a pocket, now holding a local street map.
Already found the perfect spot. Thick walls, heavy doors, small windows.
Ryan tucked a few candles into a pocket.
A jail or library?
Nope, a museum.
That'll do.
Leaving the store, Dean glanced at the modern lightweight crossbows and fiberglass arrows, started to leave, then doubled back and took one, plus a double quiver of razor-tipped hunting arrows. The crossbow and quiver combined weighed less than just the homemade crossbow from the Ville. There were several hardware stores in town, and the companions needed to scavenge three before getting every item on the list. However, as they started to leave the building, a Sec Hunter droid came around the corner, its scissor-tipped arms snapping steadily in a mechanical beat. The companions went deathly still. The droid was undamaged, not even scratched. After a moment, it was gone.
Fireblast. Another one. We hit that museum right fucking now. I don't want to face another of those things without some heavy iron on our side.
Heading away from the second droid, the companions moved from building to building, watching the darkening shadows carefully, their weapons leveled and ready. The smell of smoke was getting stronger in the air, the growing fires illuminating the center of the city, casting eerie lights onto the rising black plume. High overhead, the chem clouds rumbled with thunder, and lightning crashed down to strike at the city as if offended by its presence. The group ceased any further explorations for supplies and headed straight for their bolt hole. Reaching the museum, Christy noted a swarm of scorpions scuttling along the courtyard of the stately building, each carrying a grisly piece of the past, a finger, an ear.
Didn't take them long to get here.
Ryan scowled, watching the scavengers scurry away into the sewer gratings. One of his arms was full of plumbing supplies, mostly short pipes about a foot long and threaded at both ends, but his gun hand was free and lightly resting on the checkered grip of the Sig Sauer. Mildred fought a shiver of revulsion.
Ugh, the smell of this much food is going to attract everything in the desert. Buzzards, cougars, stickies, everything.
Millipedes, too.
Dean frowned, shifting his load of cleaning supplies. The chems had a lot of uses.
Let them have the dead. The Great Salt can't support that much life, and maybe the scorpions and bugs will have wiped each other out by morning.
At least this might mask our presence from the Sec Hunter.
JB worked on the lock to the steel grill covering the entrance to the museum.
I doubt it.
As the grill came aside, they stepped in, and JB closed the gate, expertly locking it again. Anything that wanted to get to them this way would make a hell of a racket and give them more than enough warning. The wooden front door oddly proved a greater challenge, and JB thought he might have to blast for a moment when the corroded lock yielded and the thick portal swung wide. A rank wind came billowing out, like the last breath of a corpse, and the group covered their faces to wait for the building to be flushed with clean air before entering. Once inside, JB bolted the door tight, and the companions spread out to do a quick wreck. However, the feeble light of their candles barely touched the vastness of the main room.
Watch out!
Then with a cry, Dean turned and fired, the muzzle flash illuminating a snarling mutie coming straight for them. But the creature didn't react to being shot, and as Mildred shone the yellow light of her hand flash onto the creature, everybody could see its shoulder was blown wide open, with fat tufts of some sort of gray foam coming out.
Oh, hell! It's a museum of natural history.
Mildred pumped her flashlight to try to brighten the beam. The sign outside had been too badly corroded to read, and the store map had simply listed it as a museum.
A what?
Jack raised his candle to the other exhibits. More creatures stared at him with dead glass eyes, forever frozen in a tableau of mock ferocity. The physician attempted to explain.
A sort of trophy room for folks to see the creatures that once roamed the earth.
The albino teen gave Mildred a curious look.
All laced?
Time itself did that. For once, the hands of humanity were clean of the crime of slaughtering living things for pleasure.
No hunt fun, hunt food.
The scholar smiled benignly.
Ah, my dear Mr. Lauren, your wisdom is boundless.
As the group moved through the display of dinosaur skeletons and dioramas of Neolithic life, they came upon a Tyrannosaurus rex rising high above the terrazzo floor, standing dramatically on a raised platform, with velvet ropes holding back the visitors to protect the creature from them. Dean poked at a leg, bigger than a wag.
This was real?
Real, but long dead. Most of these creatures lived and died millions of years ago.
Millions?
A century of centuries of centuries.
Doc walked around the Jurassic behemoth.
The pre-dark world of the pre-dark world, in a manner of speaking.
Come on. The offices are what we want.
Ryan began heading that way, leaving behind the killers from the past.